Have you heard of Neighbourhood Watch? Neighbourhood Watch is where people who live close to each other, houses on the right and on the left and on your street, all together watch out for one another, know about each other and their lives and who lives where and want to care and protect for their street, people who live there and make sure people are safe. Watch out for one another. I want to tell you this morning about my neighborhood watch. My name is Isaac, and I'm married to Miriam. And I lived in a neighborhood 2,000 years ago in a place called Israel. The neighborhood watch I want to tell you about this morning is very different to the ones that we're used to. We had two lovely neighbors living next to us. They were called Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth were a godly couple, a lot older than us. They were righteous. They walked in God's ways. They obeyed his commands. They were even described as a blameless couple, holy to the Lord. They weren't perfect, but they were faithful servants of God. Zechariah was a priest, so he told other people about God and served other people in knowing God. Elizabeth, his wife, also was part of the priestly family. She was from the house of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth knew sadness in their lives, however. Life wasn't perfect for them. All the years they'd hoped for children, no children ever came along. They were barren. And that was a great sadness for them as a couple. You might know that yourself as you listen to me. It is a great sadness. Especially for the people of Israel, where God had promised the growth of the nation of Israel and the enlarging of the people of God. This was a particular sadness for this couple. Nearing the end of Zechariah's time as serving as a priest, he had the great honor of being called to the temple in Jerusalem to serve, to offer the morning and evening sacrifices of incense. This was a great privilege. There were many priests during the time of Zechariah. 24,000, 18 divisions, and Zechariah had been called to perform this duty. All of us knew that when he went to the temple to do that, something strange had happened. He'd seen some kind of vision and had come out from the temple, unable to speak. We hardly saw him since, and certainly Elizabeth, his wife, she hid herself away for many months. And it is in Luke's account that we read earlier that Luke records what we saw, what we felt as neighbors of Zechariah. Turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 57, and you'll see there a birth that magnified the Lord. A birth that magnified the Lord. Look at the small number 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. Amazingly, miraculously, Elizabeth had become pregnant and given birth to a son. We gathered around that baby boy. I remember it well. Gazed on his features, saw the likeness of Zechariah, saw the likeness of Elizabeth, the two in the one. What a joy to celebrate in the birth of a son. How Luke describes it there, we don't quite see that clearly. As neighbors, we literally magnified the Lord for his mercy. We exalted God. We lifted him up high for the gift of this baby boy to old Zechariah and old Elizabeth. Well, when we receive good news, when we receive a new job or go to a new school and settle into our school classes quickly, or make new friends, or a virus starts to slowly ebb away, or we have the joy of a new baby boy or a new baby girl, or we receive good news, where does our praise, our thanksgiving finally go? Where does it finally end? Perhaps we praise and rejoice most in ourselves, what we've accomplished, our strength, our power. Perhaps we fail to praise, really praise at all. We just carry on as if we expected these good gifts. We expected these mercies. Here we see a community, the Israelite neighbors and friends, the family relatives, Zechariah, Elizabeth, praising God, the God who made us, the God who gives us all these good things to enjoy. He is the one who ultimate praise and joy belongs to. What a challenge that is for us, that we give God thanks, live lives daily of thankfulness to the Lord. In the context here, though, it is the thankfulness of the birth of a son. And just a few months later, this boy, a cousin will be born to him, and his name will be Jesus. And it won't be neighbors that magnify the Lord. It will be the heavenly host that magnifies the Lord at his birth. The heavenly host will proclaim the glory of God in the heavens and peace on earth to men. May our joy this morning, like us neighbors, as we rejoiced in seeing the birth of this son, may our joy ultimately be in Jesus, the one who saves people from their sins. May our lives be ones of thankfulness and joy in God and all he has done for us in his son, Jesus Christ. A birth that magnified the Lord. I remember it as if it was yesterday. But if that event wasn't enough, what a surprise, what a joy. Then there was a name that obeyed the Lord. A name that obeyed the Lord. When babies are born, boys and girls, different cultures have different ways of celebrating, different ceremonies. One near us, the land of Israel, was the ceremonies of the Egyptians. Their special day was the seventh day, the day of Sabuah. And there was the wonderful acknowledgement and celebration of the birth of a baby, boy and girl. For us Israelites, it was the eighth day. Do you see that in verse 59? On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. The eighth day was incredibly important, especially for a boy, the birth of a baby boy. Because then this command of circumcision took place. It is a command that dated way back into God's dealings with us as the nation of Israel. It's right back to the founding of the nation of Israel. Our earliest forefather, Abraham, who heard the command of the Lord, heard the Lord say to him, I will make of you a great nation. You shall be my people, my representatives in all the earth. And a mark of that, a sign of being part of the people of God, was circumcision. It showed the separateness. It showed that we were part of the people of God, that we were called to live distinct lives in honor of God. Of course, we as a nation of Israel terribly failed to do that. And yet this obedience to circumcision continued. It was a special day. It was a privileged day where we honored that we were God's people called to live and serve him. So circumcision took place. And then also part of the tradition, not a command of the Lord, but part of the tradition was then to name the son. And he was often named after his father. You have been called Isaac. The son would be called Isaac. A dad who's called Simeon, have a son, would call him Simeon. Here was Zechariah, old, never expecting a son, thinking that his family line had come to an end. We naturally thought he should be called Zechariah. Look at verse 59. And they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But look at the surprise. Look at the shock. His mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. John. Elizabeth seemed so certain about it. You see that word? No. She was adamant. She was clear. His name is John. We understood John. John's a nice name. It means the Lord is merciful. The Lord is merciful. And we knew that John was a popular priestly name, but there was no one in the family called John. We couldn't understand it. So we thought we'd better get a second opinion, perhaps the most important second opinion of all. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Look at verse 62. Then they made signs to his father. Zechariah was still unable to speak at this point. We made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet. Now kids, that wasn't a Samsung or an Apple. He didn't get a kind of iPhone or an electronic device out. This was a piece of parchment. This was a piece of wood. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Not I would like, not perhaps we had thought about, we quite like the name. He was definite and sure and clear. His name, verse 63, is John. Now we soon discovered that Zechariah and Elizabeth were being obedient to the command of the Lord. That's what they were showing here. A name that obeyed the Lord. We soon discovered that that vision that Zechariah had in the temple those 9 months ago had been the angel Gabriel. And the angel Gabriel, back in chapter 1, verse 13, you might like to turn to that. The angel Gabriel in chapter 1, verse 13 had said these words, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. Look how God's word is fulfilled. Look how his purposes and plans are being fulfilled. Verse 14, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. Look across at verse 17, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You as a special person who is preparing the way for the Lord, and his name is John. As God names things, so we name them. As God names marriage between a male and female, so we name marriage. As God names what sex is and what it looks like, so we follow what God names. Here is the name of John. John, who will prepare the way of the Lord. And Zechariah and Elizabeth are obedient to God's command. Looking back now, we see what seems to have been to us a new season, a new beginning. He should have followed in his father's family name and tradition, but there seemed a stop to that. There seemed a genuine new season, a new beginning, a new name, and this seemed to symbolize the new thing that God was doing. What God had been doing in Israel in the past, the old promises were coming to an end, and a new promise, a new work was beginning. And John would herald that, because he would proclaim the arrival of his cousin, Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one fully God and fully man, who'd come to take away the sins of the world for all who would trust in him. New name, a new beginning, a new season. And a name that obeyed the Lord had special impact. We saw that in Zechariah's life. Because as Zechariah says his name is John, look at verse 64. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. Zechariah, for those 9 months, had been unable to speak. And we all soon discovered that the reason for that is that back in the temple, when the angel Gabriel had told him, your wife Elizabeth will have a baby son, he had doubted God's word. He had responded in unbelief. He had not believed in God's word. Remember I said to you earlier, Zechariah was a godly man. He was righteous in all his ways, but he wasn't perfect. And God was at work in his servant's life to grow him in holiness, to grow him in righteousness. And so when he responded in disbelief, God punished him. God disciplined him. God said, because you have doubted my word, you won't be able to speak. And that is what Zechariah had had to experience for those 9 months, silence. But now he showed his faith in God, his obedience to God's word, and God's disciplinary work is removed, and Zechariah opens his mouth and praises God. God works in the hearts of those who love him to make them more like him in righteousness and holiness. God disciplines those he loves. All good earthly fathers know what it is to discipline a son. My father disciplined me. He saw an impulsive, impatient, speak before he thinks son and disciplined me for my good. No discipline at the time is pleasant, but we know that the purpose of discipline is to transform. And if our earthly fathers know the right place of discipline, how much more our heavenly father works in us to change us through experiences, through instruction, through difficult times, through trials in our life, using those to shape us and discipline us and make us more like him. I wonder how God is at work in your life, where you discern the work of God in your heart and mind, where you hear the rebuke, the correction through his word, through other people, those who know and love the Lord God, speaking into your life, changing you, transforming you, pointing you more into the person and likeness of the Lord Jesus. So for Zechariah, discipline turns into delight. He opens his mouth in obedience and he praises the Lord. And next week, we are going to read the song of praise. Zechariah, who's been silent all these months, is given some of the best lines in the narrative as he sings songs of praise to God. I mean, he has had 9 months to think about this. That's a lot of time for songwriting. And next week, well, read it this afternoon, read it over the coming week, we will hear Zechariah's songs of praise. As a neighborhood, we watched a birth that magnified the Lord. We watched a name, we heard a name that obeyed the Lord. And it caused in us a response that considered the Lord. As neighbors around Zechariah and Elizabeth, look at the response that just considered the Lord and who he is and what he had done. Look at verse 65. All the neighbors, well, we were filled, look, with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. I remember that time well. There were three aspects to our response to what we'd seen in this birth and in this name. And those three responses were a fearing and a talking and a wondering. The fearing we see in verse 65, as Luke records it, all the neighbors were filled with awe. The actual word is fear. Now, when we hear fear, and in our catechism, we thought about fearing God. It wasn't our third part of the third commandment, wasn't it? To fear God, to reverence him. When we think of fear, we hear kind of that panic, that fright, the response of something that's dangerous or threatening us, and we run away scared and frightened. That's not what the Bible means by fear. Fear is a biblical word. It's a biblical theme used over 150 times in the Bible. Fearing God is to be filled with reverence and awe and joy and delight in who God is and what he has done. And that was our experience. We were filled with fear as we considered God and who he was and wondered what he might be doing. It gave us a perspective on life. Think of a candle flickering in the darkness and that candle comparing itself to the majesty of the sun, the greatness of the sun. And that's an imperfect illustration of our understanding of ourselves as we think on God and who he is and what he was doing here. As we think of an old lady, barren, giving birth to a son and a new name and a mute man now being able to speak, we were filled with fear of God. And I wonder if that marks your life and mine. I wonder if we live our lives not just magnifying the Lord for who he is, what he is doing, but living in fear of the Lord. In our activities, our conversations, our relationships, our hopes, in our washing up and washing the car and speaking with our relatives and raising our children and the jobs that we do. Are they lived in this atmosphere of fear of God, acknowledging who he is, his work? And when we consider especially his saving work, all that he's done to bring us to a saving knowledge of himself, we think of John the Baptist and how John the Baptist points to Jesus Christ. Does this cause to grow in us a fear of God and who he is? Oh, we feared the Lord. We're fearing and are talking. Do you see how this good news traveled far and wide? Verse 65, throughout the hill country Judea, people were talking about these things. Have you noticed that we tend to talk about the things that are on our minds, that kind of are filling our hearts? When we talk, ask them how they're doing, get to know someone, spend time with people, what will bubble up is the things that are important to them and dear to them. I wonder what that is for you. As you live life, as you go through days and weeks, what are the common themes? Here it was what God is doing, what God was doing through Elizabeth and Zechariah and baby John. And then as the years went by, what they were doing through what was happening through Jesus and his arrival and his ministry. And this led from fearing to talking to wondering, verse 66. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? You know, when I read Luke's account of wondering, I love that word that he's used there, wondering. Wondering, the word that Luke has used, it means not fully understanding everything, but trusting that soon everything will become clear. That's a sweet word, isn't it? That was exactly our experience. We didn't understand everything that was taking place with the birth of John the Baptist. There were a lot of unanswered questions, but we trusted that soon, and we hoped that soon, everything would be made clear. And you know what, listeners? That was exactly our experience. As we watched John grow, and as we watched him become a man in his ministry, and as we watched him point to Jesus Christ, his cousin, and describe him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, describe him as the one who had come, God's Messiah, to show us God fully and to take away the sins of the world, we saw and understood all these events that were taking place in the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Maybe you're listening to me this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus. You would say, I'm not on the same page. Can I encourage you to wonder in your hearts about these things? To not dismiss or disregard or even to delay in thinking and examining these things. Perhaps the person that you're sitting next to right now, you could turn to after this broadcast is over and you could wonder about these things with them. You could talk with them. You could consider the claims of Luke and what he's writing about John the Baptist and centrally Jesus Christ. As a church, we're hoping to run an online opportunity for people who are just considering the claims of Jesus just to gather together and to think about these a little bit more carefully. And we'd love you to be a part of that. So do get in touch. Talk with someone you might know who's part of Kensington Baptist Church. And we'd love to get back in touch with you and for you to be part of that online group. Don't disregard or don't delay, but wonder about these things. Consider them just as neighbors. We considered all that had happened in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. But as I finish, maybe you are, many probably listening, are followers of Jesus. Do you know what? This wondering should be part of our lives too. Sure, we know the deep truths of the faith. We know the basics of the gospel. Christ died and lived and died and rose again. And through him we know forgiveness of sins. But we don't understand everything. We too wonder. Now we know in part. One day we will know fully. So this faith, this hope should burn in our hearts as we consider and ponder Christ and his glory. There might be things that we don't understand, struggles, trials, temptations. Let's take those wonderings to God and trust that one day soon all things will become clear. Let's talk with each other and encourage each other and build each other up as we look to Jesus and fear God, living lives in reverent fear, living lives that are holy to the Lord. A birth that magnified the Lord. A name that obeyed the Lord. A responses from us as neighbors and friends and family that considered the Lord and feared him and talked about it and wondered at what God was doing. May that be your experience and my experience today. As I finish, I remember considering watching John grow up and watching John's ministry, that these events around his birth really typified what his whole ministry would be like. As he grew up and started preaching and teaching, he caused people to turn to God, to fear him. People, the good news about what he was saying spread quickly. The good news of John's ministry went all over the land of Israel. And many people's hearts were caused to wonder and be troubled and to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus. This is what John does. He prepares us for the coming of Jesus Christ. And may this passage this morning be doing exactly the same. May it be preparing our hearts and growing our hearts and strengthening our hearts to magnify the Lord and to obey his word and to respond in considering and meditating and pondering the goodness and greatness of the Lord in his Son, Jesus Christ.